Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. We are live October 21st, 2012. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I'm Ash Riot.
Janice Schramm.
We have a special guest, Janice Schramm. Yay!
Yay!
Everybody clap. I meant them, but we can clap too. We're coming to you live from Aberdeen, Washington. Maybe you might want to tell them a little bit why we're here, Ash, whatever you feel.
We came down to do a bit of sightseeing, Montesano, Olympia, Ocean Shores, and Aberdeen. And so we are in a hotel.
Motel. We're in the M Motel.
We're in a motel in Aberdeen. And we have had a great time so far.
Yeah,
this is also the birthplace of the amazing, amazing Kurt Cobain.
That is correct. I know that Dave Grohl from Nirvana was born, I think, or raised in Washington, D.C. I don't know if Chris Novoselic was born here. I should have checked that. But I know he was raised here.
Yeah.
So there you go. Two-thirds of Nirvana
from
Aberdeen, Washington, and for those of you who are familiar with our music and our style of music, you probably hear the influence of Nirvana in our Nirvana. I got to get corrected in our music. But I'm bump.
And it's fabulous to be here. The town's really kind of like, I really like Olympia. I really like Olympia. And we spent a lot of time in Olympia and Seattle and more so Seattle. But we've been, you know, getting into Olympia lately, and Montesano is really cool.
A cute little town. For those of you who are kind of going through and want to check out Western Washington and the Oceanside, we highly recommend you visit these towns. They're really quaint. They have a personality all of their own. So here we are in a motel room in Aberdeen, Washington, bringing to you our show with our beautiful special guest, Janice Schramm, who just finished doing the dishes for us in the sink.
She made us spaghetti.
Our show is called Dealing with What Life Throws at Us, and in brackets, Making Lemonade Out of Lemons. Now, when we first came up with this topic, I was a bit uncomfortable with dealing with what life throws at you, because it feels a little bit violent. Because if we sort of see life as kind of, a testing ground, I think that's a dangerous place personally. That's where I'm at, coming from. Because I don't think that life is throwing things at us. I just use the word because people know what it means. Mm-hmm. But we can be thrown with really great things. We can have really great things thrown at us.
Mm-hmm. That's right? True. Jan knows that firsthand.
Yeah, so, you.
That's right. Janice is Ash's mom. And Janice is a very wise woman. Janice has had a lot of life experiences that have lent to her not only her wisdom, but also her empathy and her beautiful, kind heart. And I also wanted to mention, when we were telling about this show, we said that we would be willing, each of us, to give live readings to those of you who maybe want to know what life is throwing at you right now, if we can offer any kind of clarity through our gifts and our abilities with spirit, with obviously it is all spirit, then we're more than happy to do. And actually, we'll talk about that a little bit, because we talked about it in the past shows. Janice, you come from a family, your grandmother was psychically gifted, right?
Mm-hmm. Grandma's sister, all kinds of people in our family, yeah.
And now you have a psychically gifted daughter.
Yes.
Yep.
So a lot of time, many people don't know that about Ash and I as Hologram Band. That's part of who we are. You know, we're musicians, but we don't really kind of advertise that part. But we definitely want to support you in sharing this, and whatever we can be of service in whatever way, we are more than happy to. So let's start. Janice.
Yes.
So when we were telling you, you know, we wanted to do the show dealing with what life throws at you, you seemed to get like, yes, you know about that. You seemed, you know, you kind of like, yes, I can be a guest on your show.
Yes.
Is there anything that comes to mind that you would like to open with or share with our listeners?
Well, basically everything in life, whether whether it's something small or something big. I mean, it's everything is thrown at you, and it's just it's either you throw back or you catch it and do something with it. And I don't know. There's a lot of good things that have happened and that come out of the bad. So, you know, I think there are lessons learned. Like I always say, God didn't educate us on a blackboard. You know, he gives us things and that teach us lessons. Life is a lifelong lesson, you know, and it's some people say it's how you look at things. There's two ways that you can look at something. You can look at it in a negative thing, or you can look at it in a positive thing and positive way. And by looking at it in a positive way, it's more productive than looking at something in a negative way.
All right. I like what you said. I mean, whatever life throws at you, you have the choice to either catch it or throw it back. But I also say a third choice. You can drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of things in my life, especially recently in the last year and a half, that I've been thrown, and I've just dropped it. Because if I caught it, it would cause me too much harm and grief.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I threw it back, it would be harmful also. So there are some things in life that we just drop.
Yeah.
And it's okay to drop. Would you agree?
Yes.
And I liked what you said. You know, you're talking about being positive, and there's people I know who have had such tragedy in their lives. In fact, today we were driving out to Ocean Shores, and we're driving along the highway, and we were just probably less than a minute after a pretty bad accident happened. And it felt like there was a death, and it was a fatality. The roads were slick, and there was a pickup truck that had rammed a SUV off the road, and they were right in the ditch, and it was just crushed, like the back of the SUV. And when we were going by initially, it had just happened, and people were trying to help, and there were no emergency vehicles on the scene. And then when we were returning, the emergency vehicles were there. The people were out of the vehicles, but the vehicles were there too. And we're talking about it. We're talking about what we felt in terms of what had happened. And we think about the families. For example, if was in fact a fatality in that accident, if it was a child, which we were feeling, you think about how the family is left feeling.
Yeah.
And it's really tough when someone's grieving with death, especially for any of us to say, just be positive, because when you're in the initial throes of grief, how can you really be positive? They hear everything. How can you really be positive with telling someone who maybe lost a child in a car accident or, you know, lost anybody tragically and quickly? And you have. I mean, you've just gone through the death of your father.
Yeah.
And I've had several deaths happen in the last 2 years.
There's been a lot of it around.
Yeah.
And, you know, with like a death of a child, I mean, that is, like today would have been unexpected. You wake up in the morning, you have your breakfast, you have your showers, you're all going somewhere, you don't expect that. Like that, I know, would be just crushing, devastating. And some people, it just ruins you for the rest of your life. You can't, you wake up with that, you go to sleep with that, you carry it all day. And something like that, a child, I can understand how hard it would be, you know.
To lose your child.
Yeah, my dad, it was, he was older, he was 81, it was coming, his health was failing, he fell in October, he died in December. So, you know, there was uphill and downhill with his health, so it was expected. But I understand what you're saying about some things you can't let go of because it just crushes you.
And it's, you know, a lot of people in that situation will either turn to narcotics to kind of numb the pain,
yeah,
or some people actually take the step to get some therapy,
mm-hmm,
to help them through it, which I would, you know, based on personal experience, think is a really good idea.
Yeah.
To get some grief counseling. And but I like to, because I experienced death as a child, the death of my father, and so I was sort of, I see it that it was a good thing in that I was told very early in life, death is a part of life. it was a reality really quickly for me. Mm-hmm. Some people, like my son, he recently lost his grandfather just at the beginning of this month, and he's never had a death to deal with. And so he is saying, wow, I don't know what to do. I've never had to deal with death of somebody who's close to me. But one thing I would like to say about death in particular, because we are people who have the ability to kind of understand death in a different way than maybe majority. But I think it's important for everybody who's listening. And I know, Betty, if you're out there, you said you were going to be listening and you've had some huge tragedy in your life with the loss of two children. And I, the reason why I'm talking about this is it feels like spirit is sort of guiding us this way. It's not to negate anybody's process around grieving, but there is a positive. This is why I brought this up, because initially we kind of think, oh, you know, it's all dark. It's all darkness around it. It's all grieving and crying and tragedy and darkness and sorrow and despair. And it's not to say that that isn't experienced.
Yeah.
Yet how do we come around full circle? Mm-hmm. How do we process all of that and not stay in it? Because you're talking about being crushed.
Yeah.
And these are one of the things that life throws at us. Death is a part of life.
Yeah.
And we can have somebody taken away from us instantaneously and just feel like you're slapped in the face.
Yeah.
And we're here in Kurt Cobain's hometown going, how come you're not honoring this man in the way that we feel that he deserves? And that's
Jan's going to write a letter.
Yeah.
That's my mom wants to write a letter to Aberdeen.
That's kind of a slap in the face, too, because, you know, for someone who contributes so much to society, and his contribution was musically, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just one of many. So we're just sort of, you know, it's all about processing. So this is one thing we're talking about that life throws at you, and that's the death of a loved one. We have Jax on line three. Jax.
Hey.
Hey, it's been a while.
Hey, Jax. How you doing?
Oh, it has. 2012 is kind of a bastard, but it's okay.
I know. It's been so busy, too. It's been passing so quickly.
Yeah, so, you know, kind of that whole throwing things at you. That's all it's done. But that's okay, too.
Well, that's good. At least, you know, you're calling in because we are the knowers of all.
No, because you are. Because you have so much wisdom, too, Jax.
Yeah.
So you've been having a rough time, and you know the thing is that we see what you're going through because of your Facebook posts too.
Yeah, Facebook has a way of doing that. So, but actually, I'm okay. I've been okay for a bit, but it's just been intense, you know. So
what have you?
As I was listening. Oh, and first, hi, Janice.
Hi, how are you?
You in like 20 years, well, 15, something like that.
Well, so. Seems like 20 years or more.
Wow.
It's been a while since Ash was, what, 15, 16?
Yes. Yeah, wow. she's 28 now.
That's crazy. Boy, that's so weird, isn't it?
You'll have to make the trip up here again soon.
Absolutely.
Good.
Not sure when, but definitely, yes. So, but as I was listening, you know, one thing, the way I always view the world and has been kind of beat into my head is all about your, you know, beliefs. What are the underlying beliefs? And it really, this whole issue of whether you're getting slammed by life and how you react to it, to me, comes down to your core belief of either you're a person that believes that either the universe conspires against you or God punishes you or that sort of a thing, right? If you have that sort of a belief, then when things hit you and you don't like it, which is usually what happens because we don't react to change well, then we think of it instantly in a negative way. Like, this is punishment for something. What did I do wrong? Why does my life suck right now, right? But if you change that around and instead of working from that assumption, you work from the assumption that the universe is only giving you things that are going to bring positive change in your life, or that God only, you know, God doesn't punish you. So there's no possible way that what you're experiencing could have come about because you did something wrong against your God, right? So if you come from that positive spin, it makes it a lot easier to turn everything into, you know, lemonade. Yes, lemonade. Not get it backwards. So that was kind of the thing I wanted to say.
I like that. I think it's true. I think, and I've seen people, how they deal with situations, and you can definitely see their core beliefs immediately based on how they react. And I would say the second one that you're stating is probably obviously the far easier way to deal with life. And what I called it is the benevolent teaching experience. You can see it as God is a harsh God and creates a lot of trauma because my life is meant to suck because I suck. I mean, it's all, again, core beliefs. What ultimately core beliefs are is it's about self-love. That's what I feel. And if we don't feel a lot of self-love, then we feel that we're deserving of things that are dark and nasty. And then we go, well, see, no wonder. And not only am I not a good enough person to have great things happen, but I have a really mean God who just throws stuff at me. And that's unfortunate. And I think a lot of, quite honestly, quite frankly, I think a lot of religions teach us that, that we're, you know, we're told that we're born sinners. So right away, we don't have much of a chance to kind of become an unsinner. So I think a lot of it is religious teaching, mm-hmm. actually, that it's not celebrating the divinity that we have. And so thank you for bringing that up, because it's true. It really is our core beliefs. We can see something as being thrown at us in a malicious way, or we can see something as being given to us as a challenge or as an experience, which I kind of choose. I've been on the other side of it, though. I went through a phase where I thought God was, you know, I had really low self-esteem. I didn't feel very good about myself, and I thought God was not taking good enough care of me, and God was mean. I went through that when I was younger.
Well, I certainly understand.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that was the main thing I wanted to, you know, kind of get across as another way of saying things. So, you know, if people are having a hard time letting go, to make sure they realize, yeah, do they feel they're even able to accept good things from the universe? Or that this thing that looks bad isn't really bad? You know, look for the positive, even when it comes to death. I mean, deaths are horrible, but you know, people don't live on our timelines. We don't get to decide when other people go. And so, since we have no say in that process, it's best to find as many positives from it as possible and just grieve and heal. And it'll be okay in the end.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they get to go home, you know? So, for them, it's a great day. For us, it's not, you know?
That's exactly
that's just the way it is.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's not even, doesn't even always have to be about death. It could just be somebody leaving, or it doesn't even have to be about leaving. I mean, like, this can stem to just change in life, like even being attached to something that you do, or
like a job.
Your job, or a school you go to, or a friendship, or, you know, anything.
A love relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
All of it. You're right. I like that. People don't live on our timeline. I wrote that down, Jack.
Yeah, that's
thanks.
Good. That's a good one. We're going to quote you on Facebook now. People don't live on our timeline. Jackie Meyer.
Yeah.
That works. So, all right. Well, I need to get back to stuff. So
we love you.
We love you.
Thanks
love
for calling
you.
In.
Love you guys too.
Talk to you soon.
Love to Curry.
And now we have Brenda on line 4. Brenda, hello.
Hi, Brenda. Glenda? Linda? Maybe she went.
Someone on line 4.
Well, we'll just continue talking.
Have you got me on line 4?
We do.
Oh, because I'm Betty. Ah, okay. Oh, I was
Hello, Betty.
I was on mute until I heard your voice, the male voice, and I thought, damn, I wonder if he put me on line four and got my name mixed up.
Hi, Betty.
Hi, honey.
Hi, you heard me talking about you. I knew you would be listening.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there something you wanted to share? Just more, I guess, whatever you feel.
Or have a reading?
Pardon me? Hello?
You're welcome to share anything you want to about this topic, and if you'd like, we can give you a reading. Janice Schramm of Vancouver, British Columbia.
I would love to have a reading. And it's at the topic about losing children. It's I know it's different for everyone, and there seems to be for me anyway cycles that you go through. Like you'll hear a song or something, or you'll see something that reminds you of that person, and or you'll think of, you know, sure, it'd be nice to have everybody else for dinner. Then you realize, you know, I've lost my mother, my godmother, my sister, my daughter, my son, and you realize that the people that you were, that were part of your life, are no longer there. And so that part, when I hope I don't tear up here, but when that aspect sort of makes itself known, it's you go through. It's not as, I don't know if it's grief or heartache or loneliness or you know, just. If you're used to having people in your life and then all of a sudden they're gone, and you never ever expect to for a child to leave before you do, so it's all of those things that different things will trigger certain things. So sometimes it's so difficult just to manage your day or try to get your emotions centered so that you can maintain some sort of semblance of sanity when you're going through those periods. I think it's the longing and the loneliness, and because your life has changed completely for the rest of your living life, and sometimes it's just hard to, especially around birthdays or special times like Thanksgiving or Christmas, when you're used to having family, it's kind of hard to just have memories get you through those times. Those days, or when a birthday comes. When I was having a grief counseling after my daughter passed away, one of the palliative care social workers came over and she said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I thought I was doing okay." I said, "And I was doing the dishes," and I said, all of a sudden, I just burst out crying and had these big crocodile tears streaming down my face. And she says, a lot of people think that it's, you know, it's the first couple weeks when you lose someone. She said, but when you lose a child, it takes 8 years I don't know whether it's come to terms with it or not. And she said, we find too that subconsciously, it'll be in the back of your mind about an anniversary or something that you did, and it'll be there in the back of your mind that you're not really aware of it, and those things. So she said, let's just sit down and, you know, we'll go over the date. And it was really incredible that it was a date that was in conjunction with my daughter. And so just having that knowledge, so it helps you to get through the next time, and you know, so that you're subconsciously. You're aware of what your subconscious is thinking or all about. But you just go on, and sometimes you wonder, you know, what am I really here for? What, you know, so many losses. What kind of a lesson does God have? I've never been angry at God, but sometimes I think, you know, why did this happen? And why, you know, so young, they have, you know, why don't take me instead? And so there's, I think it's just the mother's heart that goes through all of these different questions and scenarios that you're asking God. And some days, you know, you do can cope better, and you do have moments of being able to laugh, you know, and but yeah, it makes a difference. And I think too, it's having people around you that you can go out with, which I know a lot of people, but I don't have any close friendships where you can just say, well, because I was always wrapped up in a caregiver too, looking after my mother and dog, because they were both diagnosed with cancer the same day. So you sort of, your world sort of shrinks a little bit. So it's kind of hard when I do go out, it's by myself, or if I go to the park, it's by myself. And so those types of things, you know, and I don't mind being alone, but you can only live with yourself for so long, and you'd like to have another conversation, you know, someone else to have a conversation with. But, yeah, so hopefully I'll get over, like I said, it's you don't get over anything, but you have to learn to be able to adjust, I guess, emotionally and mentally, and just carry on. And
carry on. It's not, you know, thank you for sharing so openly.
Yep.
And I could just feel how open your heart is. And we're definitely connecting with you, and especially Janice. It's like Janice is feeling you right now. It's like you're really connected to her. Janice is getting very emotional with you, Betty. And it's very, very strong. And she picked up on your son immediately before you even said anything. She didn't know about who you lost. I think it's for with death, I can't imagine what it's like. I said this to you before. I can't imagine what it would be like for you to have lost two children. One thing, Janice, we were talking about this particular car accident today in the car as we drove by, and Janice was sharing with Ash and I that her prayer, her main prayer, her biggest prayer, was the same that her grandmother told her, and that was that she would outlive her child. And that, so Janice was saying how her greatest prayer was that she would, you know, not have to live with Ash passing before her. And here you have lived with two of your children passing before you, and we feel you. And I think it's important that you know, you already know this, but you know that you're not alone. And even bursting out in tears and having that subconscious memory that, even though consciously you weren't aware that it was some sort of an anniversary date around your daughter, you know, subconsciously you were, but you also were feeling her. Is that not true?
I don't know if I was or not that day, because I was, my mind was busy doing dishes, and, you know, maybe subconsciously. I was trying to figure out why all of a sudden I, you know, like to myself, why I, so I really don't know if it was, it may have been just totally subconscious and me not realizing it.
Yeah, I get a really strong sense that she's around you. Yeah, and Janice is picking up on your son. Did you want to say anything? Janice is very emotional, so I'm just kind of wanting to get her so that she can share what she's feeling. She's very connected to you.
Okay. Right? That'd be great.
She's so cute. She hasn't stopped crying since you started talking.
Oh no. I'm really sorry, Janice.
No, she's just feeling your emotions. No, don't ever be sorry.
There's nothing to be sorry for. This is shared. This is empathy. This is shared pain. We can feel you too. When you share so openly from the heart, we can feel it.
And even if you didn't share anything with your voice, we'd still be able to feel it.
Yeah.
I could feel it even just before you even started to talk. I could feel the grief, a mother's grief. But I have to say that your children are with you mm-hmm. from the moment you close your eyes at night. They wake up with you. They stay with you all day. All the good things that happen to you, every breath you take, they're there. And they have, and Cheryl and I were just talking about this just before the show here, but I truly believe with all my heart, and I've had proof of this so many times, is that death is just a door that we open and go into another room. We're still in the same house, but we're just in another room. That's how close they are to us. And that never goes away.
And
when we walk through that door, they're going to be there, and they're going to,
they're there even without having to walk through the door. They're still with us.
You know what? When my dad was, he died December 2nd of this year. And this past year, but whenever there was one time when I walked into his room and he was suffering and we thought that he was going to die. And so many times we were called to the hospital and then he'd pull through. And then he went into an isolation room where he was isolated and you had to wear a mask and everything. And when I walked into that room and Ash and Cheryl came with me, my dad looked so good. He looked like he was in total peace. His eyes were so blue. He was breathing good. He had to have like a feeding tube. But anyway, I was going to go and see my dad on the Friday, but I thought, no, I'm going to go on the Thursday. And I went to see him, and it was just me and him. And I walked in the door, and we were talking, and my dad was totally there. His mind was there, everything. And we were talking, and he looked at such peace. I haven't seen him like that in years. So he was lying there, and we were talking. He says, oh, yeah, I was talking to Ernie. And I said, Ernie, I said, was my cousin, like his nephew there from Malta to see him because he has family as well. And Dad said, no. I says, oh, was it your brother-in-law, Ernie, that you were talking to? And he said, no. And I says, the only other Ernie, Dad, we know is your cousin Ernie. And then I stopped from saying that he passed away 5 years ago. And he goes, yes, cousin Ernie. And then he says, he's standing right behind you right now. And I could feel Ernie, like he was this, he was 83 years old, and he was our version of Sid Vicious. He wore black leather jackets. He had his hair.
Blow up doll.
And he had this Elvis Presley black hair. He even dyed his eyebrows black. He had tight jeans on and these pointed boots and studs all over his jacket. And that's what he was.
Even until he was 70.
Well, yeah. And he died when he was, I think, 80.
Yeah.
And he was still like that. And that's who my dad saw. And I turned around and I said, Ernie, you look so good. And then I looked at my dad. I says, he looks really good, doesn't he, Dad? And he says, yeah, he does. And then he starts talking to his sister in front of him at the end of the bed, and he was talking to my grandmother, and he was talking, and then he looked over in the corner and saw my mom sitting in a chair and started talking to her, and he says, and mom's there too, and he starts pointing out all these people, and then he looks up into the air and he's smiling, and I said, Dad, what are you smiling at? And he says, I says, what do you see? And he says, I see a parade. So they were waiting. They came to get him and to take him. They wanted to help him cross over to the other side. They were there. My dad had all his faculties. He was completely at peace. He looked so good. His eyes were so blue.
He wasn't even medicated.
He had no medication. That's another thing. He had, the only thing he had was a feeding tube. He had no IV. They were giving him nothing for pain. He wasn't delusional. He didn't have Alzheimer's.
And that's proof.
And so he was seeing these people, our family members on the other side. They were there to get him. And I've heard this time and time again when I've told this story to people. They have something else to tell me about their loved ones, how they passed away and how they were waiting to greet them. They came to take them home is what it is, because we're all going there. It doesn't matter if you're an insect, an animal, a human being. We all go to the same place.
And there, your kids are with you.
Oh, and they're with you all the time.
I wanted to add this. I wanted to add that. Are anybody we know who's passed on, who's still around us, they want to make connection with us. They want to make connection. And so just half of that, like, I mean, any connection, even when two friends get together, both in the physical world who haven't passed yet, each have to kind of drive their car and go to the coffee shop, right? So when it's somebody who's on the physical plane and the non-physical plane, who have passed on, you still got to drive your car to get there too, and they got to drive their car, and you got to meet in that place. So when you know that they want to be there to see you, just try and tune in a little bit more. Just try and tune into them. Don't, not even through memory, but just set your intention that you wish to even just feel them more, or whatever way you're comfortable to communicate, because that, and if you have any doubt, that's what's going to make it a little bit harder to connect. So what I'm really feeling for you is just to make sure, if you can, to just please, please tune in and just believe even a little bit extra, just a little bit extra, that you can make contact with them. And you're going to be so surprised, and I know that for sure. You're going to be more surprised than you've been. And I know that there have been instances where you think you feel them so clearly, and then your mind kind of gets in there. Tell your mind to shut up a little, and, you know, just, that's what I've had to do in my past. I just have to say, okay, mind, I'm not going to think with you right now. I'm going to use my sixth sense, not one of the five. And as soon as you kind of figure out a way to do that, I think that's going to help even more.
So, Betty, can I interject? This is Cheryl. Thank you, Ash.
Yes.
Who's Corey?
I have no idea.
Do you have a photograph, or is there something around you where your son, I believe it's your son, is in a red and white striped polo shirt with a... There's something to do with a fishing trip. Does this make sense?
No, Justin would never. He would never wear red, and he'd never wear a polo shirt.
Okay, I'm going to stick with this because this is something to do with your children. There's something to do with a photograph. There's someone in a red and white striped polo shirt.
Could be baseball.
Could be a baseball team or something. There's something to do with some kind of, it's a confirmation. There's something, maybe it's even going to present itself to you in the next week or so.
It doesn't mean that he was wearing it.
It doesn't mean that he was wearing it. I'm just seeing this, it's a photograph. I'm seeing a photograph or a memory. And I'm also something to do with a fishing trip. There was some kind of a memory or something to do with a fishing trip. Does that mean anything to you?
No, Justin just didn't do the kind of outdoorsy sports things. He was a cab driver, and he worked really hard. And he worked nights all the time. He didn't work. He didn't like getting up early in the morning, so he was always on night shift.
All right. Well, this is I don't know if it has to do with your son. It could potentially, but it's something to do around your children, and it has to do with something that you'll remember or something that will come up. Do you have a box of photographs?
Oh, I've got thousands of photographs.
Do you have a box that's kind of a yellowy, goldy, browny color?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you look through that box, please? And perhaps when you see
I'll have to do that later because I've got lots of boxes.
Okay.
I've been going through my photos and trying to get everything organized pass on to other people.
Okay, so the box that I'm seeing or being shown is not a large box. It's a shorter box. It's not like a regular orange box or anything. It's a smaller, shorter box, wider and longer, and it has a lid. So if that sounds familiar to you, there's photographs in a box that's kind of, I'm seeing it like a goldy, browny, beigey color.
Okay.
So if that makes sense to you.
I've got the picture that I have of him that's sitting on the cabinet here is, I'm just going to take a look at it now.
So also what I was being shown,
Betty,
I was also being shown that there you were sitting by a window and there was moonlight and there was grief and you're looking at something and there are tears. Does this ring true?
Well,
it's nighttime. You're sitting at a table looking at something. I don't know what it is. It could be a picture. It could be a book. It could be something. It's something, a paper. There's something in your hand. I'm being shown it's nighttime. The moon is there, and that you're there's a lot of weeping. There's weeping.
Well, I know that I meditate when there's a full moon, and I mean my kids do come to mind quite often. When I'm in meditation, I think the fact that because of my native ancestry, like I know that my ancestors are around me all the time.
It's just if the whole point of this is to show that they're there. They're showing me what they're seeing. And they're seeing you sitting, it's at a table, you're not meditating at an altar or anything, you're sitting at a table. And it's definitely moon, the moon is very large, so it could be one of your moon times, and it was also you having a memory and having a connection and having a sad time. So this is what I'm being shown. And so the message is, not only are you not alone, but also that you are supported and held, and you are very loved, very supported, very surrounded, and definitely not alone. Where you're lacking in the physical world in terms of friendships, you are, you know, exponentially blessed in the non-physical world.
Yeah, I feel that quite often.
It's also really important to reach out. Like if you're going to be any interest that you have, it's also really good to just open up a little bit and take charge and realize I feel like your solitude is really important to you, even if sometimes you get lonely. But I feel like you couldn't give that up either. Like your solitude is important.
It's okay to be alone with yourself once in a while, but because I think what it is, it's a lack of feeling a part of family, you know, when you've lost so many. And so I know that I've been sort of giving myself a little pep talk and saying, okay, you know, this is the way it is. So start getting out and...
Yeah, exactly.
Friends sometimes be so, they can be family, like friends can actually be a real extended family and somebody that you get, you know, to get to love and feel a lot of and things like that. And I'm also a caregiver, so you know because I've the eldest daughter of nine kids, and so I was helping my mom quite young. So when you've lost sort of that sense of, because if you're always looking after someone else, you really don't know how to look after yourself, you know, at times. So as far as nurturing and things like that goes for myself, it's thank goodness I meditate, because that really does get me through a lot of really emotional obstacles, I should say, I guess, something like that.
But, did your son play baseball?
Pardon me?
Did your son
My daughter used to. And my daughter would be the one that would be wearing the huggy. She's the huggy person.
It could be.
I see your. I saw somebody in a baseball uniform, and they have their arm around Jack. I don't know who Jack is or would be, but they had their arm around Jack. It could be a friend. It could be a dog. It could be something. But somebody in a baseball uniform. They had their hat on backwards, and they had their arm around Jack. So
I know that with reading, some things will, your mind will trigger some memory, like later, like, you know, in 1 or 2 days or something like that. I know it's not always instant, so I'm really going to...
They're with Jack. They're with Jack right now. I don't know who Jack is, but
she loves
Jack.
I don't know who Jack is either.
I'll
certainly keep my ears open for that, for sure.
Ask around. You'll know, and then you'll call us again and be like, holy crap, man.
I know. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, because I know that's happened to me before. And, you know, then somebody will show up and they'll say, oh, yeah, you know, I knew so-and-so, and we used to do this, and you go, holy moly. You know, because we don't know all of our kids' friends or anything like that, or what kind of relationships they had with everybody.
No. And that's why I keep hearing, Mom, Corey, Mom, Corey. So I don't know who Corey was, if it was someone close to your children, but it's almost like they're going, Mom, like they can't believe you can't remember. I don't know. It's really, I'm really picking that up. Anyways, there's answers in that box that I was, there's answers.
Yeah, I'm going to, because I've got so many boxes. Like, I've got photographs like you would not believe, and there's a lot of boxes. So I will take a look for that, for sure.
And you know what, Betty? I feel that God is holding you in the palm of his hands. Like, I can see, I have a vision of God's hands open, and you're in the palm of his hands.
Yeah, so really just don't, like, my biggest message to you is don't doubt anything, and don't.
Oh, I don't.
Don't stay away from even getting out there and pursuing things, and just giving up before you do it.
You're one of the strongest people I've ever spoken to in my life.
Yes,
you really truly are. You have strength more than you know. Like, your strength is. I don't know, it's just, I'm speechless. You're just one of the strongest people I have ever known.
So, Betty, I'm connecting to your daughter now, and I'm getting that she was something about, something to do with crafts or something that you do well, and she was encouraging you to continue or to go to a class or to do...
Okay, so
she's now, she's saying, Mom, remember... Remember,
know, I felt that a few times, and I'm going, okay, Lena.
I always
wanted to write, and I started years and years and years ago. And then I took a creative writing course while Elena was still here, before she was diagnosed with cancer. And so I used to read these stories to her over the phone, like every night we'd talk after she'd put Dallas to bed, my little granddaughter, and we'd talk for an hour and a half, whatever. And I'd read her the story that I'd written, and she'd go, oh, Mom, you've got to write a book. And before she passed, she says,
yeah. Before you said that, you know what, Betty, you don't have to say anymore, because I was just going to say, Ash got that right away. She got your daughter. And I was just going to say before you said that, she's told you, she's talking about writing your book. She's talking about your writing your book.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants you to write your book. And so she's also saying that she's encouraged you before that you should take some classes. And she's talking about your confidence. She's saying that your confidence isn't there, but she feels that if you were to take a course that you would see, it would make you feel more confident. Do you think that that's the case? Because mm-hmm. this is what she's saying. Mm-hmm. She wants you to write the book. And she agrees. She's quite excited because she agrees with what Janice just said about your strength. She's really, yeah, and Ash got it too. We all got it. We got it at the same time. So this is, again, confirmation. We know that it's her. We know that it's spirit. And, yeah, so you know what, Betty? Write your book. Write your book, honey. And now that we know, now that we know, we can actually say, how's the book coming, Betty?
And the people will help. The people that you will help with your book. Is just, it's going to be multitudes. You're going to touch so many hearts, and you're going to give so many people the strength that they need that you have.
Well, thank you. All I want to do is serve God in whatever manner that whatever He wants me to do, I will do. So, thank you.
Well, you know, Betty, you are serving, and it feels very much that you have something to give, because look at the strength, look at what you've gone through, all the loss that you've had, and think about how you can help a life just with your own experience of and your strength and the hope that you can bring and the inspiration that you can bring. And so nothing is for naught. I like that because it's true. Nothing is for naught. And so your daughter is excited. She wants you to even take her own passing and for you to write your book, to write that which you know from what you've known to be your experience. Because when we write from what we know, that's where we can touch people's lives. And so what I was saying earlier when you said you couldn't hear me, I said, now that we know this, I had no idea that you were a writer. Now that we know this, we can also encourage you, because we also need to be encouraged, right? So Ash and mm-hmm. I know we've got your Facebook. We can message you and go, how's the book coming
on? Yeah, that's cute.
So bless you, and we're blessed by you. Thank you for calling and sharing.
Thank you for spending so much time with me. I'm hoping that's
time.
I didn't take too much time away from your other callers, so.
No, Betty, and of course not. And if you ever need anything, just call us.
Alrighty, thank you, and thank you very much for everything. And it's nice meeting you, Janice.
Nice meeting you too. I'm in awe of you, of your strength, and I think that this evening had a purpose for it. It had a purpose for you to look inside and for us to give a little nudge. You know, from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, all of you.
We love you.
We love you, Betty.
Love you too.
Bye.
Well, Betty rocks. And we have 6 minutes left, and I'm going to give the call-in number anyway. It's 888-627-6008. So if anybody wants a last-minute hello or a quick reading, just call us. Otherwise, we're just going to keep on chit-chatting.
Wow. That's pretty powerful. You know, when someone shares from the heart like that, you can feel it. And when you're open, you can especially feel it. And we recognize that we truly are one. You see how immediately you can link to someone. Janice, you've never met Betty.
No.
You don't know who Betty is.
No.
And here you are right away. Your heart is just connecting to her heart.
Yeah.
And you're feeling it. And I just think that's beautiful. And I wish that more of us did that on this planet, because if we did, I don't think we'd have the trouble and the chaos.
I can see her working with people. I can see her working as a counselor, even.
Yeah, even on the other side of grief counseling. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, going through her process and each of us going through our processes around the things, you know.
And writing her book.
Yes.
How many people that's going to help? She's just this fountain of, I see her as a fountain in this water overflowing out of this fountain, and it's just infinitive. And it's just coming out of her, and it's just love and understanding and compassion and being there where the person looking at the fountain is. You're looking for water, and it's just coming and coming.
I think the thing as an artist, like, I know that being a writer is also being an artist. It's being creative. Sometimes when we're not maybe trained in a way, we think, well, who am I to do that? But if you have a natural ability
and experience,
but you bring the experience to the writing. But if you have you have to be a good writer. And it sounds like she's a good writer. And all of us, like me, even as a singer, you know, I have a good basis as a singer, but I also went to get vocal lessons so that I could improve on my singing. And even creative writing classes I've taken, Ash has taken as writers, right? Mm-hmm. Because that improves our writing. And what I'm getting at is that sometimes when we aren't safe, say you don't take journalism in university and you're going, well, how can I be a writer, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you can be a writer because you have a natural affinity for it.
Yeah.
Trust that. And that's what her daughter was telling her. You're really great. You're not even schooled in this particular thing, you know, maybe, and you're great.
Just like my mom, she gets a freaking letter in the province every week. She writes, she just reads articles and then gets outraged or feels very intuitive about something she writes in the province. They just keep printing her all the time, no matter what paper, whatever, even if it's the province weekly. Weekly, I'm sure they know her so good.
So these are the Vancouver papers for those people who aren't, you know, local to where we live. But those of you who do live in the Vancouver area, check out the Surrey Now. Check out the Vancouver Province.
You'll see Janice Schramm in there somewhere.
Look at the editorials and look for Janice Schramm's name.
And I've never had a lesson. Something gets under my skin or gets my blood boiling, that's it.
Welcome. She's seriously going to write a letter to Aberdeen.
Yeah, I am. And I'm going to get Kurt Cobain his own park, and it's going to have benches and trees and little things for the kids to play on.
Because that park that he has now, he deserves more.
And a gazebo.
And a gazebo where musicians can go-kart. Come and play in the summertime.
Like go-karts, because Kurt liked to go
fun things to educate the kids, like all kinds of stuff. He's worth so much more than he got here.
And, you know, Betty is one person who obviously wants to serve and be of service. And how much better
she's
service
crying again.
can we actually
it's
give
not funny.
Except by our own experience. And when we can share our own experience, strength and hope with a planet, there is no bit greater service. And if you can do that, Betty, write your book. Your daughter's encouraging it.
Write your
book,
Betty.
She's with you. I got that she was with you when you burst into tears. And just Janice is getting that boat. They're all with you too. So we're not just saying it. We're feeling it. So trust that we do. And that being said, I think we should just sign off.
Make lemonade.
Make lemonade out of those lemons. Anything you want to say in closing, Janice?
There's always a little vinegar in the borscht. But that makes it taste good.
Oh, wow. That was a good one. You heard it right from Aberdeen, Washington. We're going to the Sizzler tomorrow.
Yes.
That's right. So
the only remaining Sizzler, and we're going to it.
That's right. Yeah, so maybe we'll see you at the Sizzler. And if not,
in Olympia.
We love you. Kiss a tree.
Kiss a tree. Say it.
And kiss a tree.
Bye.
Goodbye.